This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go ride on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Taking a trip out to L.A., tooling along in my Chevrolet, toking on a number and digging on the radio.
And the radio was tuned to 90.3 WHPC, listened to none other than Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, fiddling on the banjo, Ray Guarino, and on the jug, Mr. Chris Switzer.
I just want to kick old Green Teeth right in the knee.
Yes, and yeah, and boys, he can be upset too. How are you, Chris?
Doing well, my brother. I am just looking forward to the show where you can just crank it up and annoy the neighbors, Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, that's what we do. Well, we got a packed show. I don't know. All of a sudden, I have a ton of stuff that I've acquired over the week or two to talk about. The first one is, let me mention a show, because I want to do this. I always want to get this stuff out before I forget. I promised some good friends I would do this. There's an annual food and toy drive next week. That's the 7th, November 7th. It's rain or shine, 9 to 3. It's the Brookhaven Town Hall. That's Long Island Expressway, exit 63 North in Farmingville, North Ocean Avenue. And there's a silent auction, a raffle, music and all. It's Long Islanders helping Long Islanders. And you can have a great time out there. Maxine is a person to contact at 516-658-1977. So
cool.
Please check that out next week.
Yes.
So, whoa. What's up with you this week? There's got to be some good stuff happening in your circle.
Oh, my God. You know, I have a question.
Okay.
And you know what? It's a transmission question.
Oh, boy.
And I know there are people that we know that know transmissions better than we do. And I know the answer would probably be drop the transmission, swap it out, change it out. And that's the end of that. But I don't think that that's the case in this instance. When you start the 300 up, the 69 300 I have, when you start it up in the morning, it fires up just fine. Mm-hmm. But when you go to put it in reverse to back out of the garage, it backs out of the garage like a GMC bus.
Yeah,
it's like it's like slow to it's like slow to move. It's like like it pulls out. You really have to not floor it to get it out, but you have to feed more than the required amount of gas to get this thing to move. Now, it moves like an old man once it's out of the garage, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fine. But putting it in reverse and then backing it out takes a couple of blips, and then it moves like very dramatically, slowly, it pulls out of the garage like...
That's like you getting out of bed.
Exactly.
You know, I'll say this, because I have a thought. I do have a thought on this.
Okay.
First of all, any older car with an automatic transmission, the clutches have been worn and aged. And
right.
Assuming the fluid is fairly new in the thing and all that.
Fluid, yeah. Filter, done.
It could be something along that lines about just age components. Torque converter also has a lot to do with it. But I know, this is what I know, the one thing I know about Chrysler transmissions. And if you remember,
other than the fact that they're durable as all get out.
Well, you have a 727 in there, which is yes. the tank of transmissions.
Sure.
excuse me. They When you check the fluid level on a Chrysler, unlike the GMs, you need to do it with the transmission in neutral. And if you look, it says it on the dipstick.
It does. You're
and
right.
It has to do with when that front pump turns. And I think what's happening is if you get fluid circulating in the transmission first, so take it from park maybe into neutral for a couple seconds, then pop it into reverse, see if it changes.
I will try that. Yeah, so I will give that a shot because it, like I said, once it's out of the garage and into the driveway, it's fine. It's fine. It's that first pull away, that first into reverse and back. And yeah, I go straight from park right into reverse. I don't mess with neutral.
No, why would you?
Right into reverse. Yeah, and just roll it out. But I'll try that. I don't remember, now that I think about it, I've always been checking the transmission fluid in park. You're right. And it's level in park.
I think on Chrysler, I'm going back a long time, I think it may say it on the dipstick.
I think you're right. I think it does.
And that's the one thing I remember, that it's when, like, the GM pump turns when it's in park, but the Chrysler engages at a different time.
Got it.
So you never know.
Well,
call us back if you get it fixed and let us know what happens.
Next week I'm gonna say those motor mouths gave me crummy advice.
Right.
I'm gonna say it anyway.
Well, naturally, yeah.
Doesn't matter, whatever you tell me. I'm gonna say that's terrible advice. Well, I actually had the car out a couple of times this week, which was nice.
Oh, that's good.
Now I've been using this as my Home Depot running car.
It's big enough.
I run over to Home Depot, run back. And I have to laugh because I had it out yesterday, and there's some event going on in the town of Monroe, the town north of ours. And I was up there driving the car, and I was on the main drag, and there's a school there, and they were doing some sort of Halloween event. And the people are pointing at my car like, are you joining the Halloween event? I'm like, what am I driving, the Munstermobile here? What is this?
Yeah, right.
People are screaming into my car.
Wow. Well, they figured, parade.
Yeah, it turned into the parking lot. If you're going to join the Halloween show that we're having, it's like, no, I'm just going to get some stuff from Home Depot.
Maybe you should have made the turn and gone into the parking lot and done the event.
I'll come back, car will be all decorated like a pumpkin.
You might have got it. Well, speaking of pumpkins, I think we have a pumpkin. We had a pumpkin on the line. You never know. You might, it's very possible. That's a different moment. We're rebooting the computer here in the studio, so we're going through a couple of
how nice. So we're going through technical maintenance while we're on the air. It's, I like that. I like the typical the computer power up.
Right.
Good idea.
Hey, let me tell you something. There's a Motor Mouth Radio Award that was given out, or should be given out, for the design that never took off this week. It ends up that Ohio had to recycle 35,000 license plates. Did you hear about that?
And why? They were square? They were round.
No, there was a botched image of the Wright brothers, their first airplane. This is pretty funny.
Ohio, you said.
Yes, Ohio, the birthplace of flight. The plates had the motto, first in aviation, on the streaming banner that appears on the plate.
Right.
But that banner was flying attached to the front of the plane, not the back. So I guess the plane was like pushing it. I don't know. So I'll tell you what else. Let's push our luck and go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Well, you certainly rolled the dice, Ray.
Yeah, we always do. Tom, what's up?
Hey, a couple of things. Does anyone know what Joe D's going to dress up as for Halloween?
I think he was dressing up as you.
Oh, nice. What do you call it? I got a comment. I wanted to let your listeners know, if they don't, that I listened to Rob Leonard coming into your show. And if they don't enjoy that, they should try Rob Leonard, the free-for-all, coming into your show. He does a great show and puts on some good music.
He does do that. Yes, thank you, Tom. And he'll be happy to hear that.
And we'll go wake him up right now and let him know.
Yeah.
Yeah, shake him, would you, please? Yeah, because I think he fell asleep for the last 8 minutes of the show. He was a little, but prior to that, he was spot on.
There you go.
One other thing, and I'm not a transmission guy, but I'm good at geometry. would it be possible with Chris's Chrysler transmission, and this is half a joke, would, if he backed it into the garage after he drove it and drove out in drive, would it make a difference?
Well, that certainly could. You know, that's not a bad thought, tell you the truth.
That is not a bad thought, Tom. And
I'm just curious. I don't know. I mean, the neutral thing that you said, Ray, is probably going to help a lot to get the fluids going.
Exactly.
But I'm just curious if that would make a difference, out of curiosity.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I'll try backing it into the garage and pulling out the next morning or whatever have you in drive and see if that makes a difference. No, that's actually a brilliant suggestion.
Yeah.
And on this show, that's remarkable.
Right. Thanks for that, Tom.
Wait, from this show and in Massapequa, from Tom and Massapequa, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So hopefully you'll keep taking my calls for another year.
We'll put you on the list. Right. Don't worry.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Tom. So long.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks.
All right.
516-572-7440. Be like Tom from Massapequa, our celebrity caller here on Halloween.
And you could be like Chris, because you know Chris, Paul McCartney did something this week. He followed your lead when
he
decided to stop signing autographs for people. Yeah, just like you.
Oh, just like me. Yes.
And instead, he prefers to share stories with them, which is just like you. He said that's a more meaningful thing than just the signature on a piece of paper. So
agreed. I agree. I find autographing is kind of weird.
Right, right.
Yeah. I don't get it. I would tell a celebrity, draw a picture.
Well, there you go. Right. Hey, there's a couple things that crossed our desk this week that are important to the hobby and all.
But other than the bills and the foreclosures.
Well, this phone call too. So let's go to the phones first and say hi. You're all at the Motor Mouths.
Happy Halloween, gentlemen.
Hey, Bob, what's happening?
Robert.
I was waiting for Tom to call on Halloween.
There you go.
And you got him.
How lucky are we?
You got him. That's it.
That's right. So you know what that means, right?
You're cracking a cold one.
Oh, there is a God.
All right. What have you been doing all these weeks?
I've been trying to paint the dental and the trim on the front of the house for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And it's not happening. It's just been raining and overcast.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, true.
So yeah, I got half of it done, and I painted with enamel this year, which I was pleased about.
Oh, okay.
It was a little harder, a little more difficult. But the third coat, it really sat nice, and I'll never have to paint it again.
Wow, third coat, man! I get nuts when I got to do two.
Well, you know, I was up there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on a ladder, and I'm not great on a ladder anymore. So I come here, right. So I might as well do it.
Yeah.
Did some car shopping.
Uh-huh.
Someone's at the door.
Yeah.
It's Tom. Yeah. He's trick-or-treating.
It's Tom. Tom's at the door.
Right.
I did a little car shopping, and there is really limited inventory across the board, so I'm not going to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, Bob, you've got work cut out for you. There's really no inventory out there, and whatever inventory is out there is at astronomical prices. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the truth.
I also, briefly, not a big deal, I priced out the Suburbans, and their price points aren't even close to being good. I don't mind paying for something, don't get me wrong. I really don't. I don't mind paying for something. But their price points are just, you know, what, 70 grand for...
I know.
And it's not even a 2500 series, it's a 1500 series.
Yeah.
And isn't that the starting price, no less?
Well, I just wanted to outfit it the same way I more or less had it.
Right.
I don't need a TV. You know, I don't need, you know, I don't, you know, there's certain things I don't need the extra luxury package. Sunroof, tow package, bigger engine.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I read an article that was stating how now cars with the newer technologies and the telemetrics, all that stuff gets factored into that sale price. And because they want to keep up with the next guy and the next car company, everybody's doing the same thing. So they're all the price. There's that new Jeep Liberty that's out. That thing is like 70 grand. Like, you got to be kidding me. But
yeah. And it goes to $100,000.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. You know what? My first house
goes to $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you're right. It's a $70,000 car, and their Grand Wagon Air package is $96,000 and change.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Wow.
What do you think the cars? Yeah. And I like Jeeps. What do you think the cars gonna be worth in 3 years?
Half of that.
Yeah, maybe
half.
Right.
That's the going number. It's really, you know, ballpark, but that's pretty much.
Right.
You're spending $96,000 on a vehicle now. In 3 years from now, it's going to be worth half. It's going to be worth $40,000, $45,000. It's going to be it. So yeah.
So no movement on the Suburban right now. Hey, how about Rob Leonard? Did he kill it this weekend or what?
He killed something. But like, just to encapsulate what you said, we've always said on this show, the cheapest car to buy is the one you already own.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? I've come to that. I'm happy with that decision right now.
Okay. Good. Good.
Mm-hmm. No, I am. I'm okay.
That's good.
If I have to do something 6 weeks from now or whatever the case is, I'll do it. But
right.
Lastly, they have two products that are no longer available on the Chevy Suburban. I guess because they can't get the chip. And that is the locking steering wheel. Who would buy a car without a locking steering wheel?
Really?
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
And they give you a $50 or $75 credit. And there was one other thing. I think it had to do with, I don't exactly recall, so I'm not going to say what the second thing was. But I'm like, I'm not, you know.
Well, then that must be an electronic device, because in the older days, the locking steering wheel was a pin that came up through the plate with all these holes in it that literally locked the steering wheel. So they must be doing
like a gear.
Yeah, they must be doing it electronically now. I haven't had a new part, so I don't know.
I can't figure out if you go to their site and you bring a car up on inventory, it'll show minus $50 deductible for steering wheel locking mechanism delete or something like that.
I think people have to start walking away from the dealerships and say, you know what, we're going to buy old cars. We're just going to buy old cars until you guys get your stuff together, and that's what we're going to do. And you'll see things change.
That's true.
Either way, I want to wish you guys a very happy Halloween.
Thanks, Bob.
And as always, we love your program.
Excellent. Thank you. We love you, too.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
My brother.
Talk to you soon. Bye, Bob.
Be safe.
All right. Yes, very good. That's Bob from Rochester.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to a neighbor recently. He had to bring his car in for some routine maintenance, routine service, and there's a local shop here in the area, and he had to make an appointment that was 4 weeks in advance.
I've heard of that too, yeah.
And that is basically the rule of thumb here, is that when you can't get a new car, you have to get your old car repaired. And,
right.
And I always say service people, when times are good, their business is good. When times are bad, their business is better.
Yeah, true. Very
and
true.
That's always been the case. And it seems to be that way now. It's even more of a reason to perform routine maintenance on your vehicle yourself if you have the time to. It's even more apparent nowadays because of. And even think, just to hold one second, just a thought I had. You know, Bob touched on a subject with the chips and everything, and now the deleting options because of these chips. Can you imagine what's going on right now? The companies and the industries that are putting together those computer chips that we're having trouble with now.
Right.
How do you think they're putting those chips together? You think they're taking their time with them? Or you think they're just slapping them together and sending them out the door crossing their fingers?
It's an automated process. They don't do it. You know, it's not like wrapping. It's an automated. It's all on an assembly.
Agreed.
Line.
Yeah. There's no one standing there with a soldering iron.
No.
But do you think maybe they cranked up the assembly line and the robotics a little quicker just to get those things out? I'm wondering. I'm questioning the quality
of
what's coming out for the next, what, six months?
Unless they're saying, hey, we have to keep our production where it is. This is what we do. This is our standard.
Right.
You guys got to wait.
Hope.
We'll keep in touch with Carl Anthony on stuff like that because he'll know.
Yes. Yeah, so, no, it's true.
Something else that came about, this is causing quite a furor. In fact, Joe D was up in arms about this. He was sending me some emails. There's a thing now called SLEEP. That's the acronym. It's called Stop Loud and Excessive Exhaust Pollution Act. This is out of Albany. Having a car with a loud muffler or exhaust system could cost you up to $1,000 in fines now. Okay. This new law hiked the fines up for shops and car owners who illegally modified their exhaust systems. Right. It represents an $850 increase from the previous $150 fine. And it's a deterrent to against loud exhaust and exhaust systems and mufflers. This was signed by the governor, Kathy Hochul, Friday morning. She said every New Yorker deserves to feel safe and comfortable in their community, and that includes cracking down on excessively noisy vehicles in our streets. She also said the legislation deters drivers from installing illegal vehicle equipment that results in dangerous noise levels that can contribute to hearing loss and increased emissions. That's a little bit of a stretch, I think. I mean, yes, noise levels, without a doubt. Anyway, motorcycles are also covered under this. Guys like Gerard and Christian, these guys aren't out of the woods yet, but I know Gerard was dealing with this years ago with straight pipes. They'll have to be inspected for illegal exhausts as well. Repair shops caught installing illegal exhausts 3 times in 18 months. Isn't that like the whole same thing for DWI? Isn't that the same period?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, they could lose their certificate of inspection, which takes away their ability to perform state inspections, which is, right. It can be a money-making thing because you can get repairs out of it. This is a quality of life and public safety issue that plagues our community. I love when they use quality of life and plagues the community. I love these when they use these words for no logical reason other than to simply make noise. Well, yeah, right.
Well, yeah, you know what? I'm turning into an old crotchety dude, and uh-huh. I agree. I'm tired of all the noise. When I was a teenager, no, the noise was fine.
I will get to that. But now that the SLEEP Act has been signed into law, we can remove these loud and polluting vehicles from our streets once and for all, said a downstate senator, Andrew Gnardes. My constituents have been demanding action ever since we saw and certainly heard drivers legally modifying their mufflers and disturbing our quality of life and, quite frankly, scaring people.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, scary. It's our hope that the new law will bring some peace and quiet back to our neighborhoods. So, yeah, you know what? I get it. And I was going back and forth with Joe on this, and at first it looks like, it seems like an assault on everybody with a Flowmaster muffler. But no, that's not right. What they're doing. There's a new crop of hooligans, if you will, out there. And they're the ones you don't see because they blend. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about because I see it every day. It's the younger guys, like you said. We're the old guys on the porch swing now, right?
Yeah, sure.
So we were out there with our hijackers and our, on our M50s and our, and our
cherry bomb mufflers. I remember those all day long.
You could see and hear us coming a mile away.
Totally.
You knew the cars, even in a parking lot, that were going to be loud. Well,
yeah.
Now they're BMWs, they're Mercedes, they're SUVs, they're Cadillacs. I've seen them and I've heard them, and they are freaking loud. They're doing muffler deletes.
I remember a caddy coupe in on Long Island prowling around. It was a CTS-4 or something like that.
Right.
Boy, that thing was loud. Holy smokes, it was disturbingly loud.
Right.
And like you say. But now there's no cutoff or anything like that, like in the old days where you pull a lever and it dumps the mufflers. There's nothing like that. It's just always loud all the time. Right?
Yeah, well, the thing is, yes, if you do a delete. But the thing is, like, and I was behind a guy yesterday, white BMW. And it was, a fairly brand new car. This guy was on it, and it was like piercingly, annoyingly loud. I don't find that to be a happy exhaust note, like open headers. Now, all this guy has to do literally is back off it and just kind of cruise, and he can go past any cop on the street, and they're not gonna notice a thing because he's in a car that's not modified otherwise. Got the stock wheels, the stock height. It looks like any other one on the road. Like I said, you could see and hear us coming a mile away years ago.
Right. No, it's true because, like you said, we built them in a way.
Right.
Jacked it up in the back, and you put the Keystones or Craigers on it with some ridiculous
and all
wide
the stickers,
rear wheels.
All the stickers
and
on
all
the windows.
Because every part you bought had a sticker in the box. So, of course, it went on your side window. You couldn't see anything out the window.
Yeah.
Which was a rite of passage and something that people admired.
No, it's really a new take on an old theme is what it is. But, back in the day, we did our stuff. But I don't know. I just see a whole new generation of guys doing it. And it is kind of annoying. So I have another one we're going to segue into. But after we have to take our break. And I have to tell you about a show that's on tonight at 10. It's called Frontiers, and it is a variety of musical styles which are spotlighted in the weekly program, from blues to bluegrass, British to Celtic tradition, and country to acoustic folk. Host Joe Whalen plays the music and brings you artist interviews. So, do we have an interview with you for the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour?
Oh, of course we do. Ray, on this Halloween, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you've ever celebrated Halloween by decorating your vehicle for a trunk or treat, how many times have you done that, huh, Ray?
Yeah,
have
right.
you ever decorated your SUV or minivan into a rolling, flashing display of ghouls and goblins that blew out smoke and fire and a wild array of pyrotechnics? Did you ever, or if you ever had any pyrotechnics, I should say, did your insurance company find out and respond by instantly raising your rates? Well, or if you've ever taken your Caddy DeVille or Lincoln Town Car and went to a trunk or treat with a fake body wrapped in trash bags the trunk.
Nice.
That's right. Not to give anyone any ideas involving family or in-laws. Let's not go there.
No.
So if you love to involve your SUV or minivan into anything remotely considered fun, like a trunk or treat, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Nice.
There you go.
I'll tell you what. Now we're going to take our bottom of the hour break and stay tuned. Listen to this break, because there's a treat in there. There's a new little drop that we're going to play that hasn't been played before. It's making its radio debut. So here on 90.3 WHBC, drop that hair. Take the hat off. I want to see that hair come down, because we're going to play a song for you, Chris. That's right. And we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio on 90.3 WHBC in a minute. Keep it where you got it. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motormouth! You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt. How are you, Ray? Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
Now hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motormouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evinrude.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Obviously, I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motormouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but they're not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motormouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHBC. You might learn something.
Yeah, what do you think you'll learn? I don't know. We learned how to play the slide neck guitar and maybe the jug band bottle. I don't know. That's our good friend Chassie John from Florida, of course, giving us a new drop dead in. And What do you think?
Very cool.
Sounds good on you.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. You could tell he doesn't blend into the Floridians with that drop in.
No, he kind of blends in with our audience, though.
Oh yeah, he's definitely the demographic for our audience. 516-572-7440 on this Halloween. We know you're not doing anything. You're just sitting around waiting for the kids to show up.
Yeah,
to give out some candy and scare them. I know. 516-572-7440. I just wanted to get back to the loud exhaust. There's one thing that annoys me even more.
Really?
The loud exhaust, and that is those pickup trucks that do something called coaling. Have you seen
this? Those are diesel trucks, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Those guys I have a little problem with on many different levels.
All right.
But yeah, I find polluting the air for no reason at all is not... I don't think that's going to get the chicks.
No.
If you really, I don't think that's going to...
What might get you chicks, though, is answering the phone. So let's do that.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going over there?
Excellent. Who are we talking to?
Stan,
how are you? Well,
hey, Stan.
New call? Right. Excellent. What? How long have you been listening to the show, Stan?
But I'm calling because of that thing with the governor signing that thing, man. That's crazy, man.
Well,
That gets like every single hot rodder that friggin' pulls out of the lot, if they're hanging out, is going to get busted if a cop's sitting there and wants to just break your chops.
Well, if you...
Every single one.
All right, Stan, but realize this. They could have done that anyway. I mean, it's still, you know, they still could have done that. There is a law against exhaust noise.
Yeah,
we've all... Listen, we've been living with that for...
One up there in New York friggin' does something like that. She's worse than Cuomo.
Well, you know, I know. You know, the governor's always going to take the bad rap and pass it. Well, wait till you hear the next one.
You guys call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
Listen.
I mean, that's just fulfilling your dream, or if that's what you got to do, maybe the kids with the thing, the rice burners and stuff, and the guys with the diesels. You know, if that's the sound they need to, you know, get their inner juices flowing, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not taking the headers and flow masters off my car, so that's not going to change.
There you go.
But I'll tell you this, as a hot rodder and as a motorcyclist, I've gotten surprised by a rice rocket, a bike that would zip up, you know, through, you know, lane splitting. And I used to ride a Harley with straight pipes, so believe me, I used to scare plenty of people.
And
when that happens, it does catch you by surprise. It really does.
Yeah. It is startling. I think,
you know, what you gotta do,
well,
you gotta just, everyone's gotta be cool with the cops. You gotta wave to the cops, you know, and then they're cool with you, and they leave you alone, and they're like, hey, he's cool, he's waving to me, he's all right.
Right, right.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. As long as you play nice with the police, no, you're absolutely right.
They're people. You got to show some respect for them, you know? And, you know,
right.
Good,
no,
man,
We totally get it. We totally get it. And yeah, to me, it's the noise. If the engine was... warranted the noise, I could understand the loudness, but sometimes it's like Ray says, it's just a straight pipe obnoxious sound, and you know it, you know the difference, right? You're a guy that knows the difference between an engine that's legit and an engine that, and a sound that's legit. You know what a Hemi sounds like with straight pipes compared to like a four banger with a straight run out the back.
I'll give you, in my own car, you know, like I said, I have a full exhaust, but I have headers and flow masters. And if I drive the car normally, it doesn't sound bad. It just sounds like a nice muscle car. I can make that thing pretty damn loud if I want to, because I can keep it in lower gear, rev the thing out. And yeah, it's going to make a lot of noise. I've set off car alarms. So again, but these guys, when
six cars, five of them have modified exhaust systems.
Of course, but I'm sure none of them have no mufflers, right?
One of them.
Okay. All right.
And then the other one has fender wells with resonators going into track the trailer 5-inch side pipes on a four-wheel drive 68 Chevelle.
That is cool.
With a 673 solid cam.
That is cool.
You can't muffle that thing down.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I had a set of those fender wells with the resonators built into them. Those were the best.
I wish
I'm looking for another set for a big block. I tell you something, because I got another.
Yeah, we totally get that.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Yeah.
That's not. I don't think that's what they're. they're shooting for. You know, they know you're responsible enough to handle it correctly.
I think, like we talked about last week with these guys who are riding these 50-mile, 60-mile scooters on the Bell Parkway, the BQE, and the Van Wyck, these idiots who are doing that, that's the same group of kids who are running these cars and the bikes in a manner that's they're not considerate of anybody else. Right. They're just being obnoxious.
Yeah, but she's pushing the law for everybody. It's like these people, like with shutting down the drag strips. You know, if they're not into cars, shut it down. We don't need it.
Yeah.
And then they make up excuses why it's bad for everybody. You know what I mean?
That's politics.
Yeah, we've been complaining about that for years. Even like Freeport Speedway 30, 40 years ago when they put up condominiums and said that there's a speedway there, so you're going to hear some noise, and people bought the condominiums at like bargain prices, and then they started complaining about the track,
right?
And they closed the track
but
down.
You're complaining, you know, you're complaining now to people who don't give a crap because they're not into cars.
That's right.
You know, and they think of it as stupid, and these guys, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's frustrating. We know. All right. It's totally frustrating. Yeah, we get it, my brother.
Well, thanks for the call, Stan. Stay tuned in because I got another piece that we're going to talk about that's related. So stay. All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Bye. All right. On that note, here's another one. And this one is, I forget who sent me this. But here we go. All over the other state, lawnmowers all over New York can quickly turn as green as your lawn, Chris.
Oh, really? As brown as my lawn, huh?
There's another senator, Peter Harkin. He submitted a bill this week calling for zero-emission lawnmowers, trimmers, leaf blowers, and anything that's gas-powered by 2027 in New York. The proposal
that's for all new equipment. I'm assuming the old equipment is probably going to be grandfathered in.
They said the proposal.
I'm not retrofitting my lawnmower.
Well, again, the proposal is part of a broader effect to reduce state fossil fuel usage and move forward towards renewable energy benchmarks all over the next few decades. Gas-powered landscaping equipment produces huge amounts of air pollutants.
It does. It's significant.
So it's imperative to move to zero emissions equipment. The bill includes devices such as mulchers and chippers that are mechanically powered and aimed at lawn care and landscaping projects, of course, because we know that those guys are everywhere.
Yes.
So in recent years, new battery technologies made it possible to manufacture equipment such as mowers. And I've seen it. I've seen it in Home Depot and Lowe's. They do sell this stuff now out there.
Yes. A lot of electrically powered lawn mowers and weed whackers. Yep. Yes.
The 5-year timeline for implementing the switch aims to address concerns raised by the professional landscape architects who are regarding this law. But those are the landscape. Well, I guess I don't know. The bill. And of course, here we go. The clinch for me was the bill will come after California moves to adopt a similar ban in 2024. So here we go, following California again. And that's always an interesting. Because they banned everything.
I've always said that the pollution that's in the valley in Los Angeles is always been a target. They always wanted to alleviate that pollution. But I read somewhere, and I can't remember all the details, but I do remember reading in some history book that the Indians, before there was even settlers in the California area, the Indians used to have a name for the, it was like a sort of pollution or a fog that used to settle in that valley. They had a name for it. It was always there.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm sure we added to it, but it was always there.
Matt Goldman Bryan just told me that in D.C., they have that rule in effect for next year in D.C.
They do.
So,
but yeah.
And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. We all use battery-powered tools.
Sure.
And they're very good. They're much better than they used to be. The technology is expensive to buy in. And the other thing is, and I don't really want to get too deep into this, but on the other end of it, the batteries have to be produced somewhere. And just like with electric vehicles, the charging stations that are there, that all comes still from fossil fuel burning. That's where. So, you're just prettying up one end of the equation and you're just kind of closing the curtain on the back end of it and just saying, don't pay attention to that.
And this is something I agree with you. And this is something I've always said. You can buy a brand new Ford, the SUV with that's electric, the bioelectric SUV.
Yeah,
and it gets 44 miles to a gallon or something along those lines. And with its electric fuel combination, you can end up with that number.
Yeah.
But I do remember 20, 30 years ago where you can get a Honda C, what's the CVX, the CXV, the two-seater,
yeah.
CRX.
Yeah.
You can get the Honda CRX. It got 50 miles to a gallon, and you can, it was all gas,
yeah.
but it was efficient.
Yeah.
It was an efficient, light, gasoline-powered vehicle. It didn't have computers. It didn't have airbags, so you had to watch where you drove, and you had to be a little bit more responsible than most, but it had thin A-pillars that you could see out of it, and it was a 50-mile-per-gallon vehicle. It was a perfect economy vehicle, and try and find one now for less than $10,000 that isn't rotted through and through.
So let me throw this out. They had that technology then. So
I'm sure they did.
I'm sure they they did because they made the vehicle. I'm sure they still have it now. Why do you think the Japanese vehicles aren't doing the same thing now, getting 50 or 60 miles to the gallon? Maybe there's another whole matrix of
It's the weight of the technology. Batteries are heavy. Electric motors are heavy. It's the weight that they're using. Unfortunately, they have the weight of these things that are supposed to save us gasoline and save us energy, but they weigh too much.
I know. We have the weight of this light. So let's.
Okay.
Let's understand this and we'll go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, happy Halloween, fellas. It's Cliff. How are you?
Hey, Cliff, what's happening?
What's up? Nothing. I'm listening to the conversation, and you know, it's funny. It hits home a little bit because recently got a hybrid vehicle and kind of did it on a selfish level, not really all that on a green level. Well, my level was you can get in the HOV lane solo.
There you go.
Good for you.
And you get the actual regulations that I had found out were that if the car gets 44 miles to a gallon or more, and it's, you know, hybrid or fully electric, you are eligible for the clean pass. So not every hybrid car, there's like a list you go on with New York State DMV,
right?
Or New York State. Not every car qualifies for the clean pass, HOV pass, they call it. You know,
right,
so
right.
It is funny. A lot of, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people are really going, like Long Islanders that commute, really are going for some of this stuff just so you could beat some of that traffic.
Well, hey, you know what? That's fine. You know, that's using the system to your advantage, and everybody's happy in that case. So.
My big thing, like you were talking about, though, is with the fully electric vehicles. Like you're right, you know, fossil fuels do actually used to make the electricity.
Right.
But what happens when we face like another Sandy or something, and powers down for 3 weeks? How do you get to work? How do you charge your car then?
That's a good point.
You have to get a generator to charge your car, but then again, you can't get gas via generator because the gas pumps could be down. Like you could really be in a pickle, you know.
I'll tell you, our friend Mike, he bought a Tesla and he put a charging station in the house, and it was a 220 line. I don't remember how it's a high amperage line. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a beefy line to support this charging station. So, like you said, you're not just going to go anywhere and plug in and charge that thing. You have to have the right, and if the infrastructure is down like it was then. Your electric car is sitting in the driveway.
So the hybrid wife has, she has one of the Mitsubishis, and it doesn't get a lot of, like if it's just on fully electric, you only get about 25 miles on a full charge.
Yeah.
But, you know, she only commutes like 11 miles each way. But I have just the charger that comes with the car, and you plug it into, you know, regular current, but it takes about 8 hours
to
fully charge it. But some of these, I was out at the Tangers Mall one day, and you could plug in at least fast chargers, and they charge you up like in an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know.
Right.
I guess, and then you also get the luxury of having a cuff bottle a little close up, you know. So
you know,
I think a lot of people go in strictly, for the convenience.
Our friend Brian was telling us that there's a guy that he knows in Maryland where his tool route is, who took his gas station and converted it to a fully electric charging station a couple of years ago. So I haven't seen any of those popping up around here, but it's something that certainly could happen. We have no shortage of gas stations.
Yeah, interesting stuff, you know.
Yeah, but, good deal.
Well, yeah, but it gets you in the HOV lane.
Right.
I like your thinking, Cliff.
That's one of the benefits for some people, you know. I do like my gas cars, though, and I hope they never phase them out.
Right. Very good. We're with you. Yeah. All right, Cliff.
All right.
Thanks for the call, brother.
All right, guys. Good show as usual, man.
All right.
Talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Bye-bye. Be safe. Take care.
Yeah. So that's
516-572-7440.
And the other thing is, you know, people don't realize the fast charge, even like your cell phone, you know, you charge your phone in. If you have the adapter, you can charge, get a fast charge, which is,
right,
you know, in a number, just a couple hours, you're fully charged. But if you're on a slow charge, it can take, you know, much, much longer. So now you go out to cut the lawn. And what if the battery, yeah, in that, you didn't charge the battery in the lawnmower and you left it down at like 10%, or if it's dead, now you got to wait. You know, you either need a spare battery that's charged. Hey, listen, and right, I'll tell you something right now. Just the people I know, the people I've lived near, I can see the way they handle things like that, like not even emergencies, but things like snow shovels, lawnmowers, their yard care. Nobody does nothing till the last minute. And then they come to me to fix it. You know, so really, and people are just,
you got
to
move.
People use things and they just, they put them, they'll put it away with no maintenance whatsoever. And
right. Leave so, it out in the rain.
So yeah, okay. The gas stuff, now you have a problem with the engines. The electric stuff, you know, not so much. It'll still run, but the batteries. So now they're going to be upset where they can't use the device because the battery is dead. And you know, they're not going to be charging these things in the off season or in the week between when they need it. And, again, but the manufacturers don't care about that. But, you know, tooling, like the chargers, is something I just wanted to make tell you about. I submitted remember we had Eddie Lyle on back earlier in the year from Lyle Tools?
Sure.
And he talked about a tool program they had where you could submit your idea for a new tool, and if they like it. Well, I got a letter in the mail from Lyle.
Ooh, look at that.
Yes, about a tool submission that I sent in.
You showed him a new tool.
I did. I made a sketch and everything, and I sent it into them. And, they denied it.
Were they impressed at your new tool?
They said, yeah, that was very nice, but we really can't see a need for it right now. So don't lose hope, though. Keep those drawings and plans, because you never know, someday.
Really?
Yeah.
So they rejected your tool.
Yes, which is, hey, you know what? It's happened before. Yeah, I'm over it.
I'm glad. You know, you had a beer, play some Whitesnake on the radio, and everything's fine.
So back to baterias. Let me just finish this. I'll get this one off the plate.
Yeah,
here.
Just one real quick thing. Another question I have is, like Cliff mentioned about a fast charge on your battery.
Yeah.
Isn't there a question of, does that maybe hurt the battery if compared to a slow charge? If you put a fast charge on a battery, isn't that kind of shocking a little bit?
I've been fast charging my phone for years and some of my power tools with the fast charge. And I've, you know, if it's their charger, I've had no problem with any of the chargers I've used. So that, I can only speak from my own experience. But Toyota is back in the news out of Plano, Texas. Oh. They've announced they'll invest $3.4 billion in automotive batteries in the U.S. Wow. Yeah, that's through 2030. And the investment is for developing and localizing automotive battery production, including those for battery electric vehicles, which is no surprise.
Right.
The bullet points were, cumulatively, Toyota has sold more than 18.7 million electrified vehicles already, including more than 4.5 million in the U.S. So the lion's share have obviously been, you know, over in...
overseas.
Overseas, right. And while electrified vehicles already account for nearly 25% of Toyota's U.S. sales, it's expected to rise to 70% by 2030.
Wow. Yeah.
I want to see if I can get a retrofit for the FJ.
You know, it's funny because, just to interrupt you 1 second, I have a question about restoring. Like if we buy these cars and then 30 years from now you want to restore one, an electric vehicle, how do you do that? You need a battery.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, the body and the systems are all one thing, but the battery's right. But as electric technology grows, I think that segment's going to grow as well.
I think the batteries are going to get smaller and smaller until the point where you're just going to fill that huge space that one time had a battery that went from stem to stern in that old car, and they're going to have like this little tiny battery, the pack of gum type size battery, and that whole big area is just going to be this big empty chasm of space.
It's been happening already, you know? It has been. That has been happening. But to meet the growing demand, Toyota continues to steadily expand the lineup of electrified vehicles, including hybrid, plug-in hybrid, fuel cell, and battery electric vehicles, from 55 models today to about 70 by 2025. So they're really on this. Mm-hmm. You know, and of those 70, 15 will be BEVs, which includes 7 Toyota BZ, which means Beyond Zero models. I know.
What is a B? What is that?
BZ's Beyond Zero. I know my, you know, my Mazda 3 had a thing on the on the window. It was it was, you know, I can't remember the acronym right now. Yeah, I'll remember as soon as the show is over.
Is it BEZ?
Yeah, BEV.
BEV.
But they have BZ, which is Beyond Zero. And basically on my Mazda, what the thing meant was it was approaching zero emissions. And that's the saying. This will be beyond zero emissions because it'll be electric. There won't be any emissions. But by 2030, Toyota expects to sell 2 million zero-emission vehicles globally. And they expect to sell between 1.5 and 1.8 million electrified vehicles to the U.S., including those ZEV models. So
EV stands out for most cars on the market in that they don't have internal combustion engines.
There you go.
Gasoline. These vehicles run solely on battery power, obviously, because EVs run on battery power without any internal combustion engine assistance. They can run much farther on a single charge than hybrid vehicles. They're also known as battery electric vehicles or BEVs.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
Okay. I think mine said PZEV. It was like approaching zero emissions. You know, even back in 06, they were doing that because the engine technology had gotten cleaner and cleaner. You know,
yes, there's a PHEV, which is a plug-in hybrid.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Interesting.
They have the
interesting notes.
The HEV is hybrid. Plug-in hybrid is PHEV. Fuel cell is FCEV. And battery electric is BEV. So those are
Got it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Those are all
we're learning. We're learning as we go along here at Motormouth Radio. It's fine.
It was a battery-fueled show today, I tell you.
Yes.
I'm going to go out and shoot my carbon-spewing, gas-burning car right in the crankcase when I leave here.
Yeah, we're stepping into a whole new chasm, a whole new world of electric vehicles. And it's funny, a lot of people are passionate about it and thinking that, you know, the thought is that internal combustion engines are going to go away. That's certainly not going to be the case at all. I mean, they're not going to go away for a long time.
Yeah.
We still have there's a lot of life left in an internal combustion engine. It's just electric is the way of the future. But there are questions to ask, and there are what would you say? The manufacturing of the electric current that is questionable.
Well, that's the thing. You need power production on the other end to fuel these charging stations that will power the electric vehicles. And right now, our grid, you know, I think our grid is tenuous at best. I mean, you know, we've had a couple instances in the last 10 years and so that have proven that.
Blackouts and power outages. Yeah,
I mean that the event we had back in maybe it was like 2010 where they it was from all the way up. It was a switch that didn't get thrown that went over to Ohio and then took out the whole eastern seaboard. You know,
it was 77.
Oops, no. This wasn't that. This was a lot sooner than that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because we've had a couple of them, and not only that, right? But if you ever come in contact with one, if you get an electric vehicle that is failed, that is not running, they don't roll. If they're dead, they are like a brick. They don't roll. You have to go through some sort of affair under the dash to actually disengage everything to get it to push it onto some sort of flatbed truck or some sort of towing apparatus to get it wherever it is. But if it dies, it's there.
All right.
It doesn't move.
I wasn't aware.
And that's even worse. You would think, you could just push it into the garage or push it in front of a... No, you can't push them anywhere.
As far as that goes, I mean, as any towing company goes, they just, you know, they'll throw it up on the Go Jacks and just wheel it off, you know.
Yeah,
they'll make
much.
It. Believe me.
But I was talking to a guy.
I've ridden with the tow guys. I've seen they'll make anything move if they want to.
Agreed. Agreed. No, I'm with you on that. Yes, they don't care what damage they do. But to actually get an electric vehicle to move can't move under its own power is an ordeal. And this I found out from a tow truck guy. Who said, there's some affair. You got to get into the front bumper or something
It's probably because the electric motor is actually, you know, it's a winding. So
yeah.
If you've ever tried to, well, some electric motors you can spin real easy. Others you can't because of the way they couple. So I guess that's what it has to do with.
Right. I always think of the dreaded worm gear.
You can't move
anything that's attached to a worm gear. You just get it.
Yeah, that's very hard to do. Right. You're very right. Very true. Very true.
Yeah. So I was chuckling over that. With an internal combustion vehicle, you could push it. You can push it out of the way of the train if you need to.
I don't think that's going to be the thing that turns the tide on this, but we'll see. You know, maybe in our lifetime, it may ride out. There may still be some gas vehicles. I don't know.
I think there will. I think there will.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some guy restoring some 70s Chevelle 100 years from now, I'm sure.
You know, that's the ninth time. But that's the thing. As we've seen, as the world moves in certain ways, if they move to legislate things out, you don't even feel it happening. The next thing you know, like, look what's happening now with supply chain stuff. Why? You can't get parts. Well, what if you can't get parts for that car? Well, guess what? Now you can't restore it. And that's it.
Yeah.
So,
well, we have to go the route of Cuba,
right,
and start becoming closet inventors.
And I tell you what, we're going to go the route of Cuba now out in the parking lot. So, because Kim's going to come to Thunder Row, we have to clear out of the studio. So tell us, what does John always say on Thursday night?
The same thing I do. Don't follow us home, and you couldn't if your electric vehicle dies.
Exactly. We'll be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Marino, Chris Switzer. Thank you, Chris. We'll see you then.
Always a pleasure, my brother. See you, bye.
Till then, 90.3 WHBC signing off. Stay tuned. See you later.